Welcome back to episode 7 of Life Beside Christ podcast. Real quick, the email again is lifebesidechristpod@gmail.com. Any of the questions that we leave you guys off with, or anything you guys want us to discuss or make fun of us, just reach out to us there. Same thing on Facebook and Instagram as well. So if you want to follow and keep up with us there. We've got kind of a different podcast today.
Yep.
We're going to get back to our Bible study next one, but today we've got a guest.
First time.
It's a very exciting one. Traveled so terribly far. We flew him in with...
Yeah.
We're starting to make pretty good money here, so we're, we're flying.
All the accommodations.
But we've got David Hayes.
Thank you.
He's so Carter and I's dad. We've talked about him before on the podcast.
He's also the singer and songwriter of our intro and outro songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is right. You guys stole one of my songs.
Yeah. So they've heard from you before. They just didn't know it. Anything you guys want to get into before we go ahead and start getting into our guests?
Yeah, just like Brady said, a little different. We have David here just to kind of talk about his journey, his testimony a little bit, and kind of give you guys an insight to our paths to Christ, too, really. Just kind of, I mean, it really led all three of us in this room to him, and so I'm thankful for that, and kind of cool to have him on here eventually, or finally, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm excited to have him on. One, because I think his story will be really cool to the viewers. It's so much different from ours, so I'm kind of excited to hear that. And then we'll see if we can talk some golf crap. So, do you have anything you want to discuss before you get into your full story? Or
not really discuss. The first thing I'd say is thanks for having me. It's exciting. To be here, to get a chance to speak. But one thing I think I've told you guys individually, but not on this podcast, one of the things being the parent of two of these guys, and I'm certainly not Levi's parent, but care a lot about him, it's interesting to get to hear you guys talk without me in the room, to listen to the podcast as a parent and hear things that I wouldn't necessarily hear if we were just talking. You know, you guys talking has one dynamic. Yeah. Talking to your dad has another dynamic. So it's been really interesting and exciting for a couple of reasons. One is, again, hearing that different perspective, and then another one, knowing that you three love Jesus, and, you know, what greater gift could I have taken a part in than trying to help lead you towards that? So that's, you know, again, nothing to teach there. Just wanted to say that.
Yep.
Well, speaking of, so it sounds like you listen. Do you have anything to say to our viewers and listeners about the tragic drama you put me through at church camp?
So that was one of the things. Yeah, that was one of the things I heard that I had not heard before. How traumatized you were that you didn't receive a letter. And the interesting thing when I'm listening to that is, first, I felt awful. I'm like, really? Oh, my gosh. Because anybody that knows me and your mother know that we kind of spoil the kids a little bit in certain ways. In other ways, we're pretty strict. But the other thing was, not only was that your first church camp, but that was our first church camp. I never went to church camp, didn't know what it was like, what it was about. I mean, I knew it was about Jesus, and I knew it was about being around Christians and fellowship and that thing. But as far as sending letters, and after listening to the podcast, I got home and told your mom, I was like, do you feel awful? Because I feel awful. But then I'm like, we would have had to send the letter before we even sent him to camp. He was there like 2 days. There's no way. So we could have brought you a letter, I guess, when we picked you up that night. But you remember, you got baptized there, and we had not been without you. Mm-hmm. You know, you had not been away by yourself at any other than staying maybe at Grandma and Grandpa's for a night. But So we were as bad as you were. We were wondering where our letter was at. And so we took you to Alexander's Steakhouse that night. Remember that?
Yeah.
And had an interesting situation happen there that we won't get into. But
it's a different podcast.
Yeah, different deal. But yeah, I did hear that on your podcast. And thanks for the call out. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I've nearly recovered, but...
What, 12, 15 years later?
Yeah, and I still cry at night, but days are fine. No,
it's the recovering from the dog that he thought got buried that actually just got thrown in the brush pile.
Have you heard that story?
That's the one he's still trying to recover from.
That one actually still hurts. So
these people were not there. It was a friend of mine who did this.
Okay.
And so how would you get rid of your child's dog that passed away?
I would assume you bury it.
Oh, is that what you'd do? So yeah, you would definitely bury it. Well, this dog may have gotten dropped off and tossed into a brush pile.
Hmm.
And also, they may or may not have let their child for 10 to 12 years take flowers out to the cemetery where he thought the dog was buried. I'm like 18 years old. They tell me, yeah, hey, we didn't bury your dog.
We can't keep watching this.
Yeah. So that's traumatic too. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, before we go any further, we want to kind of catch up on some of the emails that we have received over the past month or so since the last episode. One of them, someone who's emailed us a couple times now, he felt that he needed to weigh in on our Jolly Rancher debate.
I don't know exactly who you're talking about.
So I'll go ahead and just read it. He says, "Hello all. After your last podcast, I felt the need to weigh in on a couple items that are very important. I have no comments that are scripture related or even criticism of the podcast. However, I feel like the Jolly Rancher debate needs more opinions. I have shown below, with a picture, the only two colors that really matter, shown from left to right in order of goodness. Red, no matter what the flavor, is always the first choice, and blue is a close second."
Agreed.
"All the other colors can be tossed into the garbage or left on the front porch with a bag of hot fries for crows to take." "And secondly, regarding your golfing controversy, I feel like if you're going to get worked up over a sport in which it is okay for old and out of shape guys to beat you young and in shape guys like yourself, which is quite embarrassing, then you need to pick up your bow and arrows and get back out to the archery range. That's just my two cents worth. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to the next episode."
We do need to get back out there.
Yeah, we have not.
We're always like, yeah, next month we'll go ahead and do that. But here's a couple things. One is it's too hot. It's so hot, and there's so many bugs, and we're not very good. So why would I go do that when I can get in the pool after church? And
well, he's saying instead of golf, where we get mad anyways. And
oh, yeah, well.
I have one good arrow.
Yeah, I think I have one left.
So,
but he's right about the Jolly Ranchers. Red is always the best anything.
I thought you and I left off on the same page with blue being the best last time.
Oh, boy.
Did we not end that way?
I said blue first, but I also said grape was up there. So
yeah, that was...
I got thrown into the garbage. So. It's all right.
Well, so that's...
What do you think, Dad? What's your ranking of Jolly Ranchers?
Well, first, I enjoyed his homage to Tavin Dillard podcast with the hot fries.
Oh, is that what that was?
The crows.
Yeah, crows steal Tavin's hot fries.
You
don't open hot fries till you're ready to eat them, because the crows steal them. You just put them down.
Especially if you're fishing.
But I want to know, so first off, I'm not a Jolly Rancher guy. Back in the 80s, people used to put their Jolly Ranchers in a bottle of Zima. You guys wouldn't remember what that is, but it was a clear malt beverage, and people have dropped the Jolly Rancher in there to flavor the Zima. And I guess this falls under the red, but nobody talked about the fire flavor.
Oh, the cinnamon?
The cinnamon.
Mm.
And so,
is it a standard flavor?
Well, it used to be, and I don't know.
It came back.
Because I'm old and my teeth won't take Jolly Ranchers anymore. But I do agree with the overall analysis that red is always the choice, whether it's popsicles, Kool-Aid, Jolly Ranchers, you know, cupcake icing, whatever. Red is the best. Red is the best flavor, and then you can go from there. You really don't need any more, but you can go on.
One other thing to note that I think would be kind of funny to let all the listeners in on is, and it's, I wouldn't blame Brady completely, but even he knows how sporadic his hobbies get. And archery was...
Meet me on the pickleball courts.
Here soon. But archery was really nothing I did until I moved to Illinois. And what, freshman year, between freshman and sophomore year of college, maybe?
Yeah.
They convinced me to go buy my own bow. And I was like, sure.
Duh.
Go buy some bows and go to the shoots with you, so...
Oh, we're just dragging you through my hobbies. Like
all the hobbies, all the things we do are just like a year at a time. We do it for a year, then pick up something new and then kind of revisit it every now and then. But
except the
fun
one that makes us the most angry.
Right.
We go and play that every year.
Years ago, 3D tournaments, which is what you guys are talking about, 3D archery tournaments, they were pretty much late summer, early fall, getting you ready for hunting.
Right.
And then it became a tournament scene where it's like, well, who's the best at shooting fake animals? And so then it became year-round, so you got into what you're talking about, the heat and the humidity and the bugs. But we didn't used to have that. We'd wait until August, September, go shoot two or three tournaments, get ready to actually hunt, and then move on. But it is fun. Shooting fake animals is a blast.
Yeah,
but we all play our part in the hobby shifting.
Lots of money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else to tie up with that?
No. I think this amazing listener did a really good job.
The next email we got, so our last episode, we titled John the Baptist, the first bodybuilder, ? And because we were just kind of talking about his lifestyle and kind of a little joke. But we did have a submission for who could be the one before that. Another listener said that they would like to submit Samson in the discussion of the first bodybuilder, which is pretty fair in that discussion.
Or is he the first strongman?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, we really don't know about Samson's physique. We just know about his strength.
Yeah. That's true. Okay.
I'm looking up. I'm trying to find Samson's bench press.
You got nothing.
All right. And the last email we got to kind of catch up on, we had a younger listener write in with a question. So it goes, so I heard you guys explaining the definition of blasphemy and how it is a sin that cannot be forgiven, and I think I sort of have an idea, but I'm not 110% sure. So would it be like you're preaching against God's word? For example, if I went to the park and started preaching with a JBL speaker explaining how Jesus is not the Son of God, would that be blasphemy? And I think maybe we'll turn to our more knowledged.
Well, blasphemy, it's one of those things that always gets brought up. And I think it gets brought up because, as you, especially for new Christians, you wonder, have I done this?
Right.
Have I done something that's unforgivable? Have I blasphemed?
And I think that's why, maybe that's why this listener is kind of, he's not trying to say that he wants to. He just kind of wants to
make absolutely. So we'd kind of kicked this around earlier, and I said, you know, a lot of it has to do with intent. And I guess my answer is going to be a little bit long, but his example, I would not say is blasphemy. Unless his intent unless he knew what he was preaching is wrong,
right,
and he was trying to turn people away from God, then you might have a case. But Paul, you know, we talked about this, the Apostle Paul, he was actually against Jesus being the Son of God, and had his, you know, his road to Damascus adventure and turned away. And obviously, you know, he's one of the heroes of the Bible. So blasphemy was not what he committed. Now, when you talk about blasphemy, it depends on what you're discussing. So there's a couple things in the Bible that people talk about. One of them being in Matthew chapter 12. Let's see, if we begin in verse 20, it says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida. But if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than you." And then going on into verse 25, "At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from these wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father." No one, and then it says, while Jesus was talking to the crowd, and it goes through, his mothers and brothers were outside, and he's they're asking for him, and he replied, "Who is my mother and who is my brother?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers," and, you know, everyone. And then he goes into a parable. Now, I'm not going to keep reading, but I'm going to start paraphrasing. So the Pharisees, when they had seen that Jesus perform these miracles, they said, and again, this is paraphrased, but they said, "Look, he must have the power of Satan. He's casting out these demons, and only Satan could cast out his own demons." And Jesus said to them, this is where Jesus talks about blasphemy. He says, you're blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. I'm doing this with the power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of Satan. And so that's one example of blasphemy, to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. There are people who believe, there's an argument to be made that says we can't blaspheme anymore. What the Pharisees did was that they had the law, they had the prophets, and they had the Son of Man all right there at that time. And they made the case, they said he must have the spirit of Satan. They were taking credit from God and giving it to Satan. And we can't do that. We don't have, Jesus doesn't walk physically among us anymore. And so there's the argument that we can't blaspheme in that way. The only way, so that argument would state that what would be the only unforgivable sin today? Well, it would be willfully denying God. Mm-hmm. If you know that God is God the Creator, and that Jesus was his one and only Son and is our Savior, and you willfully deny that, well, the scriptures tell you, if you're not repentant and you don't accept Jesus, that's unforgivable. So that would be the case for, that's the only blasphemy that we can do, is to not accept Jesus when we know better. And then the question, what about, you know, we get into the what abouts. Mm-hmm. Well, what about if you've never heard of him? And mm-hmm. you know, the scriptures tell you, well, when they're talking about the law, if there was no law, or if you weren't aware of the law, then you can't break the law. And I've told you guys before, I let God handle those details. Yeah. But that would be one, one form of blasphemy. The other would be, one conversation on blasphemy. The other would be, and I should have looked this up earlier so I could have it ready.
The what about is interesting, because that's a thing I think a lot of new Christians, and I still struggle with it. You could go through everything and have so many what abouts to right. every single topic. I think that could go on forever. The ignorance is an interesting one, and I've forgotten that we've discussed that before.
So the other one, if you're in Exodus chapter 20, let's get there. All right. So Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 2. Well, so this is where it lays out the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So this is the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So that would be another spot where people talk about blasphemy is unforgivable. Here God says, I will not hold anyone guiltless, so I will not forgive anyone for... Now, there are translations that say that taking the Lord's name in vain. Yeah. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. This is NIV, and this is closer to the Hebrew, which the Hebrew would say, thou shalt not carry the Lord's name in vain, which is a little different than take. And so it's closer, I think, for us today. This misuse is a better translation. And so what that would insinuate or lead you to discuss would be the unforgivable would be to use God's name to do evil.
Yeah.
So if you knowingly... Now, and I don't believe, this is my belief, but I don't believe if you're a new Christian or even an old Christian, and maybe you just don't understand something, and you wrongfully understand something in the Bible, and you teach that, and you go, this is what I think it means. I don't think that's blasphemy. But when you knowingly know that what you're doing is evil, and you attribute that to God, well, that would be another way to be the unforgivable sin of blasphemy. So you think about Stalin's communists that killed millions, or Nazi Germany. They didn't do it in the name of God. They only gave themselves a bad name. You know, no one says, well, look what God did in Nazi Germany. They say, look what the Nazis did. So they didn't soil God's name. They soiled their own name. And obviously it was a sin and it was a terrible tragedy.
Right.
But was it unforgivable? Now, I'm not going to suggest that it would be easy to forgive, but we're not God.
Right? Yeah.
God can forgive things that we as humans have trouble forgiving. But point being, when you use God's name to do evil, you're not only soiling your name and committing a sin, but you're soiling God's name.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really gets down to those things. But really, at least what I've seen, the question gets asked because somebody said, for instance, came home hard day at work and said, God, it was a tough day today. Oh, no. Did I use the Lord's name in vain? Well, first off, God's name isn't God. That's his title.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take some... And there will be people who disagree with me, but this is my belief. It would take some acrobatics for me to think, well, God can forgive murder and rape and all these terrible things, but he can't forgive me for saying, God, it's hot outside. I don't think that's blasphemy. And so these questions generally come from somebody who said the GD, did I blaspheme? Is that unforgivable? I think I trust in our relationship with God that it's stronger than that. And so I go to those two examples of knowingly, willingly denying God, which is unforgivable. If you don't repent and you don't accept Jesus, you're not forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And God has said, I won't forgive you unless you do these things. And so that is unforgivable. So that'd be one example. And then the other would be misusing God's name to do evil. So that's my take on it. Your listeners may throw some other things out there.
There's nothing I can add to that.
That is significantly better than we did the first time. I'm glad we touched on that.
Yeah.
So to kind of get into the meat of the podcast, can you, and don't be afraid to start from the very beginning, because that's kind of what we did. I'm assuming you listen to that, is the very beginning, how we were introduced to church, the religion, how we've veered away from it before. We talked about similar with you as basketball, got away from it, kind of coming back to it. So would you mind just from beginning to end?
For my experience, personal experience, for me?
For you, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. So anything I say here is not for sympathy or anything like that. It's just to illustrate how great God is and how no one's left behind. And so if you're going through things, don't give up. But so I want to keep it as short as I can, but I want to paint a correct picture. So obviously you boys know the way I was raised. My parents divorced when I was 7, and I have a brother and a sister. And so my mom was a single parent. My dad was around, but not a lot. I'd see him once in a while, but it was not these divorces that you... This was a divorce of the 1970s, not the 2020s, where they co-parent and all this stuff. It was the kind of divorce that you see in the movies kind of thing. It was contentious and name-calling and all that stuff, where when you're at one side, you hear how bad the other side is. When you're at the other side, you hear. So it was, as a kid, you love both your parents, but you at least I did, you tend to gravitate towards the one you're with the most. And I was with my mother the most. So my mom was a single parent, and she tried. She did her best, but we spent a lot of our childhood with my grandparents, her parents. And so pretty much we lived the week and certainly the school year with that set of grandparents. And we would move out for a short stint, but then something would happen. So my mother remarried and divorced several times. And so we'd move out, and then we'd move back to Grandma and Grandpa. So that was always the touchstone, the home base. And then my dad's grandparents had us weekends and summer. I spent a lot of the summer, school summer break, with my dad's parents. And so I was influenced by the generation, the Depression era generation. Church going, we would go once in a great while. I can't even tell you why we would go. It would just be like, well, we're going to church, but never my grandparents. My mom would take us. There's a story in Maridosa, Illinois. I was young, 4 or 5 years old. They sent me down to the Sunday school class, and while church was being held upstairs, and the Sunday school teacher asked if anyone knew how to sing Joy to the World. And I, as you guys know, I've sang my whole life. I still sing constantly today to myself. And I threw my hand up because this is 1974, 75, something like that. I throw my hand up because I don't know these people. We'd visited this church, but I knew Joy to the World. And so they're like, do you want to lead it? Well, you guys are too young to know, but in the 70s, there was a song. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. So I was getting it, and I got in trouble, and I got sent upstairs with the parents. But I didn't know that wasn't the song. But anyway, so we were not frequent churchgoers. Yeah. I didn't know how to act in church, so to speak. But living with my grandparents, I always tell the story. They canned everything. We had our own animals that we ate. They didn't buy a lot of stuff, and we always ate meals at the table. There was no eating in the recliner and all that stuff. You met at the table. And religion was talked about a lot. Jesus being our Savior and that stuff. But they had the idea that you don't have to go to church, and they would vocalize this: you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. When someone would ask, why don't we go to church? You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. And I believe they're right. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that God picked a certain building to say, you know, you got to go to this building. But they just didn't go to church. But that didn't mean they didn't believe. My grandpa taught me how to pray. Not the Lord's Prayer. He taught me a little kid's prayer when I was young, and who to pray for and how to give thanks and that stuff. That was on my maternal grandfather's side. My dad's father was my favorite person in the world, next to my mom. Of course, you know, again, I think when you're in a single family household and you're young, I was 7, 8 years old, you latch on to, you know, who's your protector, who, and that was my mom. But I would say right up there, 1 and 1A was my Grandpa Hayes, my dad's dad. And he loved me like nothing. That was great. I loved it. And I never really understood it until you recently made me a grandpa. I was like, I get it. I get why.
Yeah.
But one of his flaws was he loved me in a way that didn't allow him to discipline me. So anything was on the table. And he was not a Christian by any means, not saved. And so he had a what we call a chicken box. It's a paper, wax paper box full of dirty magazines right by his bed. I slept with my grandpa. Anytime I stayed there, my grandma slept on the couch in the living room. Yeah, I took precedence. And he'd let me flip through the magazine. I mean, from the time I can remember, 3, 4 years old, I'm flipping through the magazine. So, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I've heard this before, and it's still shocking to me.
I was so young looking at that stuff that I remember being scared of what I was seeing. It was scary to me, but for some reason, drawn to it. So, and, you know, I can say at 5, 6, 7 years old, if I wanted to drink a beer, I drank a beer. He didn't look at it as it's just a beverage. I wasn't getting drunk.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting hammered at 7 years old, but
fighting the neighbor kids.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd share a beer or whatever. And he just couldn't say no to me. And that, as we know from the scriptural standpoint, that's why God is such a great father, because he can say no. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows. Now, again, I'm not saying this stuff to fault. I still love my grandfather. When he passed away, I was 15, and it was one of those moments in your life where you're like, my world is completely different now. I don't have, you know, this guide, because he taught me a lot of good things, taught me how to work. They worked their butts off. They owned a fish market. But as far as leading me towards a Christian life, that wasn't part of the agenda. My grandmother on my dad's side, she went to church fairly regular. And what was interesting to me later, and I didn't pick up on it then, but what was interesting to me later is once in a while my grandpa would make me go to church with my grandma. I don't go. I want to stay with him at the fish market and eat beer sticks and drink soda and ice cream that they had that they sold out of the cooler. But so he recognized an importance to that, but he was against, and he had told me when I got a little older, he told me a few things that have stuck with me. One of those was being, he didn't like organized religion. He felt like churches just want your money. Jesus is somewhere else. He's not in the collection plate. He's somewhere else. And he taught me when Pearl Harbor Day was, and I never forgot it. I don't know why that stuck with me, but December 7, 1941, always stuck with me. But anyway, so fast forward a little bit from 7, 8, 9, and 10. I get to be probably junior high age, so I'm 12, probably 12, maybe 13 at this point, depending on what it was in school year. And I got invited to go Christmas caroling with some friends of my cousin, and I've told you guys this story, Dan Davidson, Daryl Davidson, Tony Davidson. They invited us to go with the Lighthouse Baptist Church to go Christmas caroling at the nursing homes. Well, I love to sing. So I go. We go sing Christmas carols up and down the halls. The older people there that are living there, they get a big kick out of that. It's kids there singing. And I got a big kick out of putting on a show if somebody actually wanted to listen to me sing.
Joy to the world, baby.
Joy to the world. Yeah. So it wasn't too long after that. So the town that we live in now, Linville, or well, you don't anymore, Brady, but where Carter and I live, had just poured a basketball pad. Now, you guys know it. You've played on it, and it's old, but it had just gotten poured. And so Daryl and Dan and Tony, together with the youth pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church, invited me and my cousins to come play basketball there. So we went there. Well, because they'd done a couple of things that I really liked, one was to sing and one was to play basketball, I was like, this is getting interesting. This is, and I think that's what youth ministry should be.
Yep.
A way to get someone involved to realize that it's not, we don't go to church just to browbeat people. You know, we should enjoy ourselves and enjoy fellowship and that. But I was just getting the basketball and the singing out of it at the time. But anyway, we go to church. And again, I'm around 12. I can't tell you exactly, but 12-ish, because I know I was in junior high. And went to church, and Pastor Joe, he was a youth pastor, he started talking about Jesus and repenting and accepting Jesus as your Savior. Well, it's the first time I've really heard the nuts and bolts of how you go about that. I'd heard at the dinner table about Jesus and these conversations that the adults had, but I didn't really know, well, how do you get there? You know, how do you get your ticket? Where do you pick it up? And so Pastor Joe, and I think he may be the head pastor now at Lighthouse Baptist Church, but anyway, at the time he was youth pastor and he's talking about Jesus, and he talked about, you know, do you feel in your heart, you know, are you saved? Do you believe Jesus is God, the Son of God? You know, and Jesus is speaking to you. Do you hear him? And those kinds of things. And it was weighing on me. I'm like, I do believe these things. And I haven't done whatever you're talking about. I haven't accepted. I have raised my hand, whatever you got to do. And so at the end, he does what most pastors do. He invites you to come up. If you haven't accepted Jesus, but you want to, come up, I want to talk to you. And so I did. And that was strange for me because, again, growing up the way I grew up, when you grow up, at least for me and my brother and sister, I think, growing up through multiple divorces and a lot of school changes, I went to something like 7 different grade schools. That doesn't build confidence. Yeah. That tends to make you shy and reserved because it's like you never build that friend group that you can.
No stability.
Yeah. So for me to say, I want to go up and talk about this, it was a big thing. And so I attribute that to God. That was the Holy Spirit. God knows that I wanted to do it, and he gave me the strength to step up there. And anybody that knew me back at that time, I talk a lot now. I didn't say anything. The older people would make jokes about it, you know, and they try to pass it off. They're like, oh, he just knows that you learn more if you listen. And I just wouldn't speak. I'd just sit, you know, and just kind of look around. I did listen. I absorbed everything. But anyway, so I go up and I talk to Pastor Joe, and I told him that I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And so he took me in. We talked, and I accepted Jesus that day. And after that, he said, is there anyone you want to pray for? Is there anyone that you love that isn't saved or that you're afraid is not saved and you want to pray for them? Well, right away, it was my Grandpa Hayes. Because, mm-hmm. like I say, he was that person in my life that, you know, if anything went wrong, that's who I was going to. And he was a big guy. He was 6'5", 280. And so to a kid, you know, you're like, he's my protector. You know, he's everything to me. And the fact that he let me get away with murder, for crying out loud, that a kid, he's always giving me money and let me act a fool, let me go shoot guns by myself and buying me cherry bombs to play with. He's my guy. So I'm scared to death that, you know, my Grandpa Hayes is going to hell. He's not saved. And I know Grandma Hayes is saved, but I knew Grandpa wasn't, or I felt he wasn't. And so I wanted to pray for him. So me and Pastor Joe prayed for my Grandpa Hayes. Now, fast forward a little bit. So I go, you know, you're a kid. And you know how it is. You accept Jesus and you're on fire at first. You're like, I'm in. I got this whipped and I'm going to, it's me and Jesus from here on out. Mm-hmm. And then over time, especially when you're young, 12, 13, it's like, okay, I'm really interested in baseball cards and shotguns and, you know, that kind of thing. Fast forward 3 years, 1985, my grandfather had not been in a hospital. I don't even think he was born in a hospital, but he might've been, but 1985, he's getting hoarse. And he took me to the doctor. They had a little doctor there in Winchester, Illinois, Doc Garrison. He was the
physically little or
he wasn't a very big guy, but he wasn't, oh. but he had a little office. It was in his house, the office in his house, and he was the town doctor. And that's the way you did it back then, unless you went to a specialist or a bigger town or whatever. But and I remember going in Doc Garrison, and Grandpa was hoarse, and Doc Garrison gave him a shot in the arm, and he looked at me, and he said, he's going to be okay. Well, at the time, I had no doubt he's going to be okay. I thought he's got a cold. Mm-hmm. But it was odd for Grandpa to go to the doctor. He just didn't. You know, he worked every day. They didn't go to the doctor. And then I was up at my dad's. So my dad had a really bad accident in 1980. And so that's another story of my dad becoming a Christian in 1980. An accident that should have killed him but did not. And he lives to this day. And he became a strong Christian presence in my life, which kind of reinforced that this Jesus thing is the way to be. Yeah. And I really want Grandpa to be involved in that. And so I was up at my dad's. He lived in Rushville, and my grandpa showed up there one day, and he had came up to see Dr. Doner, who was Rushville's town doctor. Dr. Doner has a statue in Rushville. He was famous for $5 house calls into the 80s. He was still doing house calls.
Oh, wow.
$2 or $3 for an office visit, $5 if he had to come to your house. And so my grandpa went up to see Dr. Doner. And so then I'm kind of going, okay, this grandpa's seeing two doctors. Still, I'm young. I don't really know. So one night, get a phone call, Grandpa's in the hospital. Well, that's really weird. It's like, what's going on there? And come to find out, he had basically passed out. He couldn't breathe. Well, he had throat cancer really bad. And so he went into the hospital, and just a matter of weeks, he was dead. He was gone. But I remember going up to see him and talking to him, and I remember praying. And my dad and my stepmom went up to see him, and he had been intubated, and he couldn't speak. But they asked him if he wanted to see a pastor. And so he's laying on his deathbed at this point, and he shook his head yes. And so they brought in their Lutheran pastor, and the Lutheran pastor talked to him and asked him if he wanted to accept Jesus Christ, and he said yes. And so we ask him, do you believe Jesus is the one and only, you know, the true Son of God? Do you believe he died for your sins? Do you repent of your sin? You know, the whole thing. And my grandpa went, yes, 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 yes. So just a few days, a matter of days before he passed away, he accepted Jesus Christ. So my prayer from 3 years earlier, roughly, was answered. So I had the faith of a child, which we should all strive to have. But my faith was strengthened when you pray and you're so hopeful and you really want it, and you see God. You know, it doesn't always happen on our time. In my estimation, it should have happened the next day. I prayed for my grandpa to be saved. He should have been saved the next day, but it didn't happen in that time.
Right.
It's 3 years later it happens. Then, so my grandfather saved. I learned later, actually just a couple of years ago, riding with my uncle, my dad's brother, down to Florida, and he said, you know, my grandpa was really restless and a lot of pain, and they were trying to put chest tubes in and different things, and he was fighting the tube, trying to pull it out, trying to get out of bed.
Gosh.
And he said when the pastor came in and talked to him about Jesus, he said, just calmed him down. And my uncle's not a Christian. He's not saved. I've talked to him about it, And he's said he'll come to church at some point. He has not yet, but I pray that he will. And I have the same faith that I had that was strengthened through seeing my prayers answered. And obviously my family's prayers and my grandpa's prayers answered. So when you get to see something like that, don't get me wrong. I haven't lived a perfect life before then or even since. But it's evidence to me that God is real. God is good. And so that's my story. That's how I came to Jesus. And that's one thing I always share is how Jesus brought a man who read pornographic magazines every night until he got well into his 50s. And I'm telling you this because I slept with in his bed. Every time I stayed there, he and I slept together. He said I was a good bunk mate. I didn't kick. I didn't snore. And until he was in his late 50s, he read pornographic magazines every night. Now, I mean, he read them, you know, the articles and stuff. But getting his late 50s, he started reading Louis Lamar and you know, Westerns. But this man who had done those things earlier in his life, had been a heavy drinker, you know, was not a saint by any stretch of imagination. And as far as I knew, was not looking for Jesus. After my prayers, this is what I know, after my prayers, my acceptance of Jesus, in the next 3 years, even though it was on his deathbed, he was saved. So I have this great faith, and I look forward to seeing my grandfather again in eternity because of that. So it's, I think it, certain people have those kinds of stories. Certain people have a story like my dad, who had a terrible accident and was saved, lived somehow, and he credits that to Jesus and accepted Jesus after that. And some people, it's more subtle. It's just this soft knock, this soft call from Jesus saying, hey, I'm here.
Right.
And they slowly, or maybe, so it's, everybody has a different experience.
That's what we talked about previously. Like, none of us, some people kind of seem like they wait for that big thing to happen when that's not how God's trying to introduce himself to you. And we talked about that with like our stories, that to us, they weren't some big story. They were our stories, but they weren't some big life-changing events that led us to that, other than, you know, like you said, that that those knocks.
Yeah, and so really, if you could, again, this is my opinion, if you could plan it the way that Scripture would tell us, we as parents are supposed to guide our children to Christ, to tell them about him. And now, we can't accept him for you,
right?
But we can tell you about him and the things he's done for us and the things he's done for you and how much he loves you. And over time, you'll be familiar with him and familiar with his word, and then you will accept him. But you have to accept him on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But you really wouldn't want to have to wait on Paul's Road to Damascus event, or my dad's accident, or my grandpa's deathbed. You know, why cut it that close? You really would want that soft entrance, so to speak, into Christianity. And again, you have to have something that triggers you to accept it. You can't accept Jesus because I want you to. You have to have, it's in your heart. You know, God is within us, and you have to go, okay, you know, this is where I'm putting my hope and my trust, eventually on your own. Even though as parents, that's what we want for you. We can't give it to you. We can't make you do it.
Yeah. There were a few things that I noted down that were interesting. And this is why we wanted you on, because I think your story is really interesting and can help others to kind of see that rough upbringing. You didn't get too deep into that, but there's a lot of people out there, I think, that could relate to things weren't perfect, but you were led to God through others. And that's one thing that I noted down is invites leading to finding Christ for others. And such a small thing. Same with Levi. I don't know which one of us, we've talked about it in previous podcasts, but just invited to our house a couple times, and then
Well, Brady, so when I preach sometimes, I will do and next time I preach, let's invite a friend. Everybody try to bring a friend. We'll try to fill the pews. And I think you invited Levi. You guys were at ICF at the time. Yeah. And that's how he first came out. And I loved that podcast, by the way. The fact that he didn't even know, he's like, what do I do? And your mom's saying, do you have money for an offering? And,
right.
What? You got to buy a ticket? What's the deal here? I think that's a great story and testimony to the power of Jesus to go from, I don't even know what this is, to, no, I want to accept this. I want my eternity set. I don't want to leave it to chance.
It's always funny looking back on the way things unfolded, because you guys know me and my memory, but it's as I think about things more, and when I talked about that, there were things that I kind of left out. I don't think I went that far into it, but leading up to Brady inviting me to church for the first time, we had a class together in the fall. And I think this was like early spring. I had curiosities, and I didn't know like where to place them, I guess. And I went into my notes on my phone, and I typed out like I was going to send it to someone. But I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I want to be introduced to something. This is kind of where I'm thinking. Like, I don't know what to believe. I've heard this, and this, and I was like, if anyone has any, direction, I'm open to all of it. And I think, literally that week, or the next week, I get that text, and I never did anything with that note, but I think I still have it in my phone, where I was like, I don't know who I was writing it to. It was just, trying to put my thoughts and, how I felt into words, I guess, for myself. But it's just... It's so funny to me that things like that play out, and it's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, it's more than funny if you think of it.
Right.
I've had too many things happen like that to not believe that God's doing that for me. Whether it's jobs where I've been not happy, wanted more out of it, and I'll pray about it, and, well, okay, where'd that job opening come from? There's no reason I should be able to... Stuff like that, or... If somebody might be in a bad mood and then open their Bible and there's immediately something about patience.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out the big guy on that one. but yeah, that's really interesting. So real quick, before we go further, because we're talking about the invites, I want to say this is an open invite. If you're already listening, there's a high chance that you're probably going to church. But reach out to me on Instagram or through the email, reach out to Life Beside Christ. You're welcome to go to church with us. We go to two different ones.
Yeah.
You can sit with us. Not that this is like you get lunch with a cop. But it's not some big treat. But it is tough to... Because we started going to a bigger church.
Right.
And... I'm still nervous every time we go in there,
right.
And I'm going with you guys. So it's hard to go just on your own. You got to be pretty confident with who you are. So that's an open invite, and it's a yes immediately. You can always go with us.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say. So Brady had said I didn't get too in depth about my upbringing, and it was not. Your standard, but I've always said I don't hold my mother or my father, I don't hold a grudge against them. I think they were trying to do the best they could, and I wouldn't change that. I think a lot of us are that way, even if we had a rough upbringing, unless there was abuse, you might change something. But being able to be raised by my grandparents and having the experiences I had made me who I am.
Right.
And it's the same way in our Christian walk. Even though we all come to Christ in a different way, most of us probably wouldn't change it. Because if it's God-inspired, well, then we know it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I got there, the way you guys got there, while different, is what is good for us. If God is involved, then it can't be bad. And the other thing I wanted to do, I read the first part of what I want to talk about blasphemy, but I wanted to get to that last part and read that real quick, just so listeners. So if you go Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 22, so Jesus was talking about unrepentant towns, and he's doing these miracles. And then in chapter 12, beginning in 22, it says, "Then they brought him," this is what I was paraphrasing, "they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, 'Could this be the son of David?'" So they're saying, hey, this could be the Messiah. Mm-hmm. But when the Pharisees heard, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." So that's where they accredited Satan with the fire of the Holy Spirit. So if you're listening to this and you want to see where that's at, you start in chapter 11, go through the unrepentant towns, and then in chapter 12 you get to that one kind of blasphemy thing. I'd forgotten that when we were on the blasphemy thing. I wanted to go back, and so I wanted to touch on that again.
Yeah.
The other two things I had written down, just to get through this real quick. Your grandpa not believing in organized religion. In a way, I can understand that, and I think that he's right, or was right, in a way as well. Because I also don't believe that you need to go to church. I believe that I need church, because I am very bad that if I'm not consistently going and staying in tune with that lifestyle,
So being surrounded by other saints, it's a way to re-energize, to recharge your batteries.
Yeah.
You know, when you, on a Saturday, I may have lost some of that zeal that I got Sunday morning the week before.
Right.
And I think all of us are that way, to a point.
Yeah.
You know, we need that. I'm the same way. I need to be around other Christians. I need to be encouraged. I need to encourage. Mm-hmm. It helps me to encourage.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's. But I agree with his take on you got to be careful, because we are human. Anything that we organize is going to be flawed. Yeah. So organized religion is flawed in many ways, even though the intent is maybe pure. The way we go about it can tend to turn people off. You know, they mm-hmm. can think, well, they're uppity, or they're judgmental. Because we have these failings as humans,
yeah,
and so you can get that reputation of, well, all they want is your money, or they think you're better than you. And I've said this before from the pulpit, and I'll say it now: I go to church because I'm not better than you,
yeah.
And I recognize it.
Yeah,
that kind of hits on something. So this is back to the invites a little bit. Another thing with that church group and stuff is I wish people, and we've done it to ourselves as Christians, I wish people understood that we also have lives outside of church. That, like tonight, we're probably going to watch the end of UFC fights. It's not this stereotypical, what's the Simpsons character?
Ned Flanders, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but people get so turned off by believing that we're robots, and it's just straightforward. You are straightforward with you try your best to be straightforward with your living, live a healthy spiritual life, but we still enjoy, like, you getting invited to basketball. Still go play basketball and have fun, and so that's kind of another thing for listeners to understand with us, yeah. And with all Christians in a way. I feel like I'm rambling for you guys here, but when we started going to this new church, I'll leave out the name for now just because I don't know if it's good or bad, but I was on edge with it's the first time I had a new preacher. Mm-hmm. We'd been at Linville Christian for
your whole ever. Life?
Yeah. So, and whether people want to admit it or not, 2023 is the time for woke preachers that can veer off the Bible. I was talking to Zoe. I'm all in on this church, but the first thing I want us to stay on guard And that's kind of talking about the flaw that can arise with organized religion. So yeah, you do need to be careful, but.
You guys had talked about, and I don't know if you're ready for this or not, but you talked about you kind of, at the end of these podcasts, leave a question or a thought for people to respond to. And I said I would bring something up. I went and bought another Bible. You guys know I have a bookshelf full of Bibles. I've got study Bibles and children's Bibles and picture Bibles and different translations of Bibles. But I usually use the NIV, and I only have one large print NIV. So I went and bought another one, and I went and bought it at Walmart. And as I'm walking to the book section in Walmart, and I start seeing the headings, I knew what I was going to find. And it looks like Levi knows where I found the Bible. Which heading? Which
fictional books?
Fictional.
No
books.
Way.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I mentioned that to someone, but I thought I mentioned it to maybe you or Zoe before, and I noticed that.
Yeah, and so it's interesting the way, you know, Walmart views it as we can't put this under nonfiction because somebody might be offended.
But then they had, when I walked through, they had like the Quran and some of the other like religious books completely separate, like very distinct, and then Bibles were in.
It's interesting that they don't just put it under no heading. If you don't believe that the Bible is real, then at least have respect for the religion of the people who read the Bible. And just put it under no heading. Don't put it under fictional books. So it was a little frustrating, but it's a sign of the times. It goes to what you're saying about the woke, and then we don't want to offend anybody, except we can offend Christians. That's okay, but nobody else.
That's the thing. There's one group. There's one religion that it's okay to offend. And everybody's just accepted it. And we're starting to see this kind of pushback a little bit, because it needs to be done, or you're right. I mean, we're in some tough times, but that's a little discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Not shocking.
Yeah.
I would.
No, it's exactly what I expected when I walked up. I'm like, I know where I'm going to find the Bible.
Mm.
Eventually you may not find the Bible. Who knows? But it is the best selling book of all time. So you're going to keep a few on the shelf. But anyway, that's something that your listeners could comment on, give their thoughts or maybe their experiences.
Yeah.
New shirts, boycott Walmart 2020.
Carter, you got any thoughts that we skipped over?
I have a lot of,
it's funny cause
a lot of thoughts.
While David was talking about how he used to be really quiet and just kind of listen, I looked from my right to David to straight in front of me at Carter, and I'm like, that sounds like Carter.
Well, not.
It doesn't sound like Carter because you can't hear him.
It's only on this podcast. I was like, so I like sitting here and learning. That's what I try to do. I try to listen and learn. But I have some thoughts. So the going to church thing, I thought of the sermon of the 5-gallon bucket with the holes in the bottom. You go to church and try to fill it up. At least you're cleaning it out. You know, you're getting the dirt and dust and cobwebs out of there. If you guys heard that.
Okay.
I have actually never heard that. That was...
Yeah, the analogy is that you're refilling your bucket, and even if it has leaks, if nothing else, you're cleaning out the gunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Secondly...
You were just sitting on that gym for a half hour?
Dude, I'm... Yeah.
Well, one thought I had, kind of related to that, as you were talking about it, Brady, is we've talked about it before, is sometimes, and you really got to be careful about, well, I go to church on Sunday. Like, what I do the rest of the week, I mean, it doesn't matter because I go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a song I heard of. There's a lyric in it that says, "Hell's not scared of a Sunday faith." And it's saying, like, if you are only godly on Sunday, the devil's not worried about you. Like, he's already stolen you. So you really got to be careful about letting yourself kind of fall into that... only kind of giving God attention on Sunday, or just kind of giving yourself that excuse while I go to church.
Yeah. Going to church doesn't save you.
Right.
You get no salvation by walking through a church door. Only Jesus can save. So that's a relationship. That's not a Sunday morning thing. That's an everyday thing. That's a for your life thing. Just like any other relationship in your life, friendship, marriage, whatever, but even more important because it's eternity. I mean, it's the most important relationship in our lives.
Sorry, Carter, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was going to bring up, you talked about Pastor Joe. Sounded like a pretty important person or time in your life. Have you kept in touch, or is he in your life at all?
No, he's not. That's a great question. So I don't remember ever going back to that church again. Again, so I'm too young to drive. I'm not getting there. I'm only getting there when I get invited. Mom might drop us off. The extent that he was in my life, I think God put him in my life at the perfect time for the perfect reason. And where he the part of my life that he occupied from there on out is when I drive down Clay Street and I look at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, his name's on the sign. I actually, if I seen him today, if he walked in this room, I probably wouldn't know him. I have often thought that I should touch base with him and thank him. Mm-hmm. I did touch base with Dan Davidson a couple years ago and told him that story, that he was one of the people instrumental because of his invites, him and his brother's invites, for me to go sing hymns and to play some basketball, that led me to Jesus. Now, does that mean that I wouldn't have ever found Jesus some other way? No. But it's those little things that we can do for and with each other. And it goes beyond just that salvation moment, but to keep encouraging each other and to reach out and let people know that, hey, I'm still here, I still care. Maybe our lives went on separate paths, but we're still important to each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I wrote down, I don't know if you want to get into this or what time we're at, but just the getting into preaching and then the struggles with sticking with that.
We're getting to about hour 10 here, so maybe we can touch a little bit on that the next time.
Maybe you can have me back again and we can talk about
it. We could probably fly you back in, I guess.
Yeah. It's 7 miles.
Should be in the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll
keep that note, Carter.
All right.
I tried to keep my story short, but I ran it long enough that you had to invite me back.
Smart, yeah. No, that's just good marketing.
Yeah, it's appearance fees.
Do you have, I know you don't have social media. You don't have Facebook.
I don't have Facebook.
You've got mom's Facebook.
I don't have Meta. I don't have X.
Is there anything you want to promote, church?
You've
done some speaking engagements. I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. I would just say I wouldn't promote any in particular church. I think you said it best. If there's someone out there that wants, that has that question like Levi talked about, but doesn't know where to direct them, I would ask them, email you guys, text you guys. You know, if it's somebody that wanted to talk to me, I can't imagine why they'd want to talk to me, but if they did, you guys could get me in touch with them. But I just think if you're listening and you're wondering what's this about, or you hear Jesus call, you're starting to feel that tug and that, hey, I need somewhere to place my hope.
Right.
Find that strength somewhere. Find that bravery to step forward and ask is very important.
Yeah. Yeah, social media has made it so easy today. Just reach out. You're not going to bug any of us, small or big questions. Or just, hey, can I tag along church? Yes. Yeah, that's a good, well put.
Yeah. So then we're not going to get into our kind of question from last episode. Maybe we'll carry that over to the next one, but we'll just kind of say it again so that if you still do want to write in, you can still do that. But the question or the topic was, as a new Christian, whether you're going through that now or previously, things that you struggled with, things that were tough for you to understand that you went through and you just couldn't get over this, or just was hard for you to go through in your early walk. So, and then we'll talk about that with our answers next time too, maybe.
Yeah.
Or not, maybe.
We'll get into that. We'll have him back. I think we're going to have him back for a Bible study and maybe get in more of his stuff. So
pick up with Matthew 4.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, and shop at Aldi's.